In August, the baseball world lost one of the greatest pitchers to ever take the field, Tom Seaver. Now, New York Daily News' Bill Madden, Seaver's longtime friend and biographer, has a new book, Tom Seaver, A Terrific Life, a deeply personal and fascinating portrait honoring the legacy of the Hall of Famer. Bill Madden has covered Major League Baseball as the national baseball columnist for the New York Daily News for more than 40 years. Again, the name of the new book is Tom Seaver, A Terrific Life, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Bill Madden to the roundtable this morning. Bill, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for being here.
How long have you thought about this, of working on this book that would come out after the death of Tom Seaver?
Well, actually, this book is kind of an offshoot of a documentary I did on him in 2000. It came out in 2019. I spent the better part of 4 days up at his up at Calistoga, where his vineyard is, in 2017 and 2016. We made two separate trips up there. And it was after the documentary came out in March of 2019, when the family put out the statement that he was diagnosed with dementia and would be dropping out of public life. Some of the people who were working on the documentary with me told me, they said to me, Billy, you've got to write the book now. I had always been reluctant to do a book on him. For one thing, you know, I would have needed permission from him and the family. And if I did an autobiography of him, that would have been problematic because his memory was really going, especially the second time we went up to see him in 2017. He couldn't remember any of the details of his career anymore. So that was why I hadn't done a book. But then, you know, the dementia thing came in, the documentary was finished, and there was a whole lot of stuff left on the cutting room floor of the documentary that needed to be told. So that's why I decided that I would do the book.
What picture do you think it gives of this man, both on and off the field, and kind of fills in for us what perhaps we did not know about this legend?
Well, this is a deeply personal book. He was a friend, and this is the closest thing you're going to get to an autobiography because I did these extensive interviews with him and Nancy, his wife, and their family and people like that. And I think you're going to get a complete portrait of him, starting when he was in Fresno as a kid, growing up in Fresno, California. And in Little League and high school, he was the smallest guy on the team. And that always bothered him because he obviously, Seaver always had a plan for everything. And his early plan was to eventually be a professional major league pitcher. But his size was a big handicap for him. And even though he was the best pitcher on his team, both in Little League and high school, he didn't have a fastball that would attract the scouts. And he even told his parents that I am not, if I can't get a scholarship to college, I'm not going there on your dime, and I'll just have to figure out something else to do. And what happened was he graduated from high school, got no offers to any colleges, and decided to enroll in the Marine Corps Reserves. He went into the Marine Corps Reserves for 6 months of basic training at 99 Palms, California. He was 5'9", 160. 6 months later, he came out of the reserve 6'1", 210. And all of a sudden, we had the real Tom Seaver.
You write about this, but give us a sense of how going to the Mets was a fit, in the sense of he gave this team its identity, and he injects it with such a winning attitude.
Yeah, well, he wound up with the Mets in kind of an accident. He was originally drafted by the Atlanta Braves, and he was delighted with that because Hank Aaron was his idol growing up in Fresno. But what happened was when he signed his contract with the Braves, people didn't realize that he had actually played two games for Southern Cal, which he thought were exhibition games. And somebody blew the whistle, we think it was the Dodgers, that Seaver was ineligible because he was still enrolled in college. And so the commissioner voided the contract and put Seaver's name into a lottery in which any team that was willing to match the Braves' offer could have him. And only three teams submitted bids, the Indians, Cleveland Indians, and the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Mets. And the Mets won the lottery. They picked his name out, and that's how he became a Met. But when he got to the Mets, his first season with the Mets was 1967. And when he got there, he was appalled at the way the writers all talked about the awful Mets teams and made fun of them. But they loved to write about them because Casey Stengel was still around, the original Mets manager. He was still around in spring training and hanging around the team, and he would regale them with stories about how bad those Mets teams were. And at one point, Seaver said to Ron Swoboda, a fellow rookie, he said, "You know what? I'm very uncomfortable with this kind of talk because I had nothing to do with those teams. I had nothing to do with Marvelous Marv Fromberry and Rod Caniel and the amazing Mets. I don't like the way they call them amazing because they're referring to amazingly bad, not amazingly good. And I'm not going to have any part of this." And it got around the rest of the team and the front office and everybody else. I said, "This guy's different. This guy's come to play here. And he's not going to tolerate this." And he didn't. And, you know, 3 years later, the Mets were in the World Series.
And when does he, you read about this, but at what point does he become, not just that the name comes Tom Terrific, but he starts to understand what it means?
Well, I think it was obviously during the 69, the miracle 69 season, when the Mets gradually started winning, and then by mid-season they realized that they'd gone over 500 for the first time, which, by the way, Seaver said that was nothing to celebrate. And they kept getting better and better and closing in on the Cubs. And Seaver was leading the staff. It was a pitching-driven team to begin with, and he was clearly the best pitcher on the staff. And by that time, he had established himself as probably the best pitcher in the National League. He went on to win the Cy Young Award that year. Youngest pitcher ever to win the Cy Young Award. And I think it was Jack Lang who was the baseball beat writer for the New York Daily News, who in his game story started referring to him as Tom Terrific. And as the more he did it, the more the nickname started to catch on. And of course it became his lifetime nickname. And I think Seaver, when they won the World Series, I think that whole team realized how good they were, and especially how good he was.
How did he, and as a friend and as someone who was writing about him, how do you think he handled the success? Because it seemed to just be such a class act in so many aspects.
Well, in a way, he didn't handle it that well. What happened was, in 1970, the year after, there was a year after hangover, and the Mets weren't as good in 1970. And Seaver had just been flooded with interview calls and just all this attention went on after the 69 season, that whole winter. And it became the Tom and Nancy show because he and Nancy, his wife, were asked to do all these television appearances at Sullivan, the Kraft Music Hour, and all these other things. And it just became too much. And when the 1970 season began in spring training, the writers noticed a difference in him. He wasn't the guy that was always sitting in front of his locker doing the New York Times crossword puzzle and kibitzing with him about world events and everything else besides baseball. He just wasn't there. And one of the writers told me that there was definitely a difference in him. He said, when you did get him, he was good. He'd give you a good interview because he was one of the smartest players I ever covered. He said, but the problem was he wasn't available, and he was deliberately not available. And at one point during that season, Jack Lang wrote a piece in the Sporting News. It was very critical of Seaver, saying how he was even at some point, he'd become almost hostile with the writers when they got too inquisitive about his questions and about their questions to him about why he wasn't pitching as well as he had the year before. So it was there was definitely a change in him after the 69 season.
Did he come to terms with that eventually?
Well, sort of. I mean, if he knew you, like myself, or some of the other writers, Joe Durso from the Times, Jack Lang from the Daily News, he was good. He was the same old Seaver. But if he didn't know you, he was not that approachable. And he was, there was a little bit, even his best friends told me, he said, you know, Tom, Tom was an elitist. He always thought he was the best player on the team. The only problem was he was the best player on the team.
As far as the Hall of Fame being a Hall of Famer and the legacy of Tom Seaver, in asking him questions and in talking about that, how did he interpret it? How did he look at that legacy, at what he had achieved within the game of baseball and just as an athlete in general?
Well, I think Tom was very proud of his legacy. I mean, this guy was a student of pitching. He really was. And he was very aware of the milestones he achieved in baseball, although this is the kind of thinking he had. When he won his 300th game, I was at his house in Calistoga, and he had all the balls from his greatest games all framed on the wall there. And he showed me the 300th win ball, and he said, "You see that ball, Billy?" He says, "Look at the ball right next to it." I said, "What is that?" He says, "That's my 301st win." And to me, as far as I'm concerned, that was just as important as the 300th win. But in the terms of the history of the game, there's no question that Tom Seaver is one of the five greatest pitchers of all time. He's one of only Seaver and Walter Johnson have 300 wins, 3,000 strikeouts, and an ERA of under 3.0. So, I mean, that alone tells you just where his place in baseball history is.
Well, the book is fascinating and beautifully written. It's Tom Seaver, A Terrific Life. It is published by Simon & Schuster. Bill Madden, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, my pleasure.
Be well. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Tom Seaver, A Terrific Life by Bill Madden. It's published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.